Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're located, we're glad you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And hey, if you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast would be the first step to joining us in person sometime. But you can also check out our online live services every Sunday at our website, firstnaz.cc. Hey, again, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the message.
It's good to be in God's house, and it's good to open God's word and hear what he has to say to us. Let's listen as Galen shares with us today.
Well, good morning. It is, thank you, emphatic good morning. Was that Rich? Thanks, man. Love it. It is good to be with you today. As Phil said, it's just fun to be a part of this community, and specifically those of you that may be new, 1, 2, 3 weeks in the last couple months, it's been fantastic to get to meet you and to help you get plugged in and engaged in this community. If you are new today, my name is Galen. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'd love to meet you and hopefully get you connected today, even after the service. I'd love to meet you and maybe pray with you. Today, if you are new, you're joining us halfway through this series called Sent. This idea from John 20, 21, it was easy to remember, right? The year 2021, John 20, 21, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. As the church, we are called to be a people who are sent on mission to deliver God's good news. If you are new, I would encourage you, go back and listen to the first week, or the first message in this series, the first week. Pastor Brian shared more about this. He talked about, in this series, we're delivering specifically this message to others. We want to come from our mouth to others. You are valuable. You're valuable to me. You're valuable to God. And there is a way. I want you to become so familiar with this phrase that it's memorized. You can repeat it to yourself. But then when you're in a situation, because if it's already in your brain, when you're in a situation where someone's questioning their value, if they believe that there's no way forward, if they believe that God doesn't love them, it can just come from you. This is the message we are delivering in this series. So today I want to walk through some scripture with you and then some specific words of Jesus of how we are called to live and to be a witness and a light as we are sent into the world. I want to start by reading in John chapter 1. It says this: in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. I love this. I can't talk too long on this because it's not really what the message is about, but I love this. Is John 1 is so deep and rich if you begin to study it. It starts with, in the beginning. It's supposed to draw us back to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in the beginning, it says there was this dark, formless void, just darkness. And God created light. He created order out of chaos. God is creating these things. In the beginning, and then he says the Word. So when John's writing, the time of the day, there was this really Greek philosophy that was in the midst that said this: there, from the very beginning of time, was eternal truth and knowledge. If we could just know that truth and knowledge, we would step out of our cave, if you know Plato, into the light, and then we would see how the world really should be. This eternal truth is logos in Greek. So here, John writes, in the beginning, the logos, this eternal truth, yes, it already existed, I agree with you, but this eternal truth, yeah, it was with God, this eternal truth is God. He said, and then John goes on later, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. This is Jesus. He is the one, and then he says, that brings life and brings light, brings knowledge and enlightenment, and this is the way to live life. Jesus brings it. This light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't ever extinguish it. Goes on to say, Jesus himself spoke to the people once more, I am the light of the world. And then I love this. This is for us too. If you follow me, you don't have to walk in darkness. You have the light that leads to life. If you've ever been like me at some point where you felt like you're stumbling along in the darkness, where is the way forward? How do I move on from this place? I feel like there's a dark cloud encompassing me. If you follow me, you don't have to walk in the darkness. You have the light within you that leads to life. I think it's interesting as we believe in Jesus, through Jesus's life, death, and resurrection, he gives us new life. His spirit comes to live within us. He takes us from who we were to who we are now, a new creation with a new hope and a new future. We have new life as we live for him. He transfers us. Read this from Colossians. God has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus the Light, who purchased our freedom and who has forgiven our sins. So he says, you should live differently. You don't live like people of the dark anymore. You live as people of the light. In Matthew 5, he begins to list the Beatitudes, if you know them. If you don't, open Matthew 5. That's going to be where our main passage is. Blessed are you when you do these things. You will live differently than the world. So Jesus gets to this key verse, and it's our verse from the day, Matthew 15. It says this, you are the salt of the earth. What good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out, trampled on underfoot. It's worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. So Jesus is speaking and he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are supposed to be different than everything else. An interesting question I love to ask people as they begin their Christian faith, as they then wrestle maybe with their Christian faith 20, 40 years later, is to say, how are you living differently than the world around you? And oftentimes it's easy. Well, I don't believe those crazy things. I don't say those crazy things. Those people, other crazy culture says, yeah, I'm different. But does your difference point others to Jesus? And Jesus says, you are the salt. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm like reading this, studying this week. And I'm like, Jesus, why would you say you are the salt? There's a million metaphors you could use. And he uses some other ones. But why salt? I honestly don't think I've ever preached a message on specifically you are salt. Why this? And Bob writes in the background notes, Jesus, in sharing this, the people that would have heard him, 90% of that economy was made up of fishermen, tradesmen, people of the earth, probably the lower income class. They would have understood better what salt does. For me, I'm like, it makes my Pringles delicious. That's what salt does. The first thing, I think there's two things that I want us to take away from today about salt. The first is salt preserves. I think of it, when I want something preserved, if I want a fish preserved, because fishermen would have heard them, they catch their fish, salt preserves the fish, it keeps it better for later. I honestly only know that because I read it in a book this week. If I want to preserve it, I go to Walmart, I buy the salmon, I take it home, put it in some delicious marinade, and put it in the fridge. I don't know, there's probably some salt in the marinade, I guess, but the fridge preserves it. But no, it preserves life. Because I don't know that much about salt or preservation of food, I went back 2 weeks ago. I was able to preach a high school camp in Oregon for about 100 high school students. It was amazing. I want to share more stories about what God did there later. But there was one point where God chose to humble me, and there was a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. And I used to be a fantastic basketball player. I'm quickly learning that that is slowly going away. So I adopted the philosophy of a great country singer. It says, I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. And so I'm going to play ball. I'm going to beat these kids 3-on-3. And there was two kids, Armando and Jose specifically. They were only like 5'6 and 5'5. And they beat me so bad. And at one point, it happened. It wasn't a mental break where I shut down. It was my body. Both calves in the same moment, whoosh, cramp up. And this 30-year-old aged old man falls down. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. I call my mom. I'm like, Mom, I gotta beat these two little kids. What do I do? And she said, salt preserves your muscles, your fibers. You need to eat a salty snack, which I'm always game for. Let me eat a salty snack. Then she goes, I don't know if she told me this or I thought of it because I was like, I need this salt right now. Take a cup of water, you just dump a whole bunch of salt in it and you drink salt water. It's preserved. It's disgusting. I know exactly. But I had to do it and I still lost. It preserves your muscles. Let me ask you, if Jesus says you are salt and salt preserves, what is worth preserving in the world? In your life or in the world? Maybe preserving the innocence of a child who has a simple faith in God. Maybe preserving organizations that are doing what Jesus would want them to do to help make them stay alive. Maybe there's truths that you believe in that need to be preserved. Maybe there's things that you do, traditions that need, and not that the tradition itself needs to be preserved. We get to tradition because we did something that had a mission in the moment that was far beyond anything that we wanted. So we need to be committed to that mission. What do we need to preserve from the original purpose behind our traditions? What needs to be preserved? Maybe it's an after-school program that's based in Christian principles. Maybe the value of a Christian education. Maybe adoption agencies. The church being a hospital for the sick or the beacon of hope. Or soup kitchens. What needs to be preserved? What do you need to fight for in life to preserve? The second thing about salt is that salt adds flavor. Did you know of all the food in all the world, there's only 5 different tastes? There's sweet, sour, salty, bitter, and savory. Bitter is just bitter, so whatever. Savory is okay. Sour is good if you like sour gummy worms, but really for me, it comes down to sweet and salty. When you go to the cabinet at night and you need a late night snack, is it sweet or is it salty? For me, it's almost always salty. Like I said, those Pringles, if you just take one, you got barbecue, you got ranch, you got salt and vinegar. There's all different kinds. Salt flavors in a way that brings out the best of life. It brings out what is good. So when Jesus says you are the salt of the earth, if it's lost its flavor, as Christians, we should be a people that our speech should bring out what's best in life. It should bring out what's best in other people. Jesus is saying, and I want to focus specifically on our speech. Our speech should bring out something different than the rest of the world. If our speech is the same as the rest of the world, it says, what good is that? What good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? That's actually, this is strong words, Jesus. If our speech is no different than the rest of the world, it's actually worthless. Do we speak in such a way that offers people hope of a Christian witness of the God that we know? If we're going to get real practical, it's funny that Phil prayed that this morning. He didn't know what I was talking about. I didn't know what he was going to pray on this morning, but he said, may our dialogue be different. When we hear, because we will this week, can you believe about Mass? Can you believe Pritzker, can you believe Lightfoot, can you believe Nagy, whoever it is, can you believe him? Yeah, I want to turn the conversation. Yeah, it's an interesting take. We should be talking about that. You're right. Hey, how's your kid? Man, the last time I saw them, they were doing amazing things. You must have raised them well. You should be proud, shouldn't you? Man, what did you do to raise your kid so well? I want to turn the conversation to insert value into people's lives, to insert hope, to show them something different. I want to speak in ways that reflect the spirit of Jesus that lives within our hearts. Speak in ways that take people from death to seeing a new hope of resurrection. Speak in ways that bring out the best. Proverbs from the Message translation says this: respond gently when you're confronted, and if you do, you'll diffuse the rage of another. I love that. Responding with sharp, cutting words, because some of us are really good at that, but only makes things worse. Don't you know, this is interesting, being angry can ruin the testimony of even the wisest men. Our speech matters. Colossians, let your speech always be gracious or compassionate, seasoned again with salt, so that you may know how you ought to respond to one another. I want to speak in ways that add flavor and life to others. Could you say, you're beautiful, you are gifted, you're doing well, you're almost there, you can do it. Man, I've seen the fight you're in. If you just push a little bit more, I know you can do this. There's more in you. What you're doing is important. Can we add value with our speech? That's why specifically I love this phrase that Brian has this saying. can we say these words? You're valuable. You're valuable to me. You're valuable to God, and there is a way. Let your speech bring out the best in life. So we need to preserve salt. We need to preserve what is good, true, and beautiful. And speak in such a way that it brings out what is good, true, and beautiful. And now that you are appropriately salty, Jesus says these words. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop. It can't be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. So in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. If salt preserves and flavors, what does light do? For it to be the light of the world, how do we interact with the world? I think light reveals and directs. I think of it this way. When I grew up in my home church in Garnet, Kansas, on Park Road, we had just built a new sanctuary. My family was one. We were in the church at least three times a week, often weeks. It was a lot more than that. And I got to be very familiar with the sounding, the surroundings, the sanctuary, to the point that one day I was trying to go through the sanctuary to go to the gym and play some basketball. And I walk into the sanctuary and all the lights are out. So if you picture all the lights out in this room, I thought to myself, I've been in this room so much, I could just walk through here. You know what? I got confident. I could actually run through here. You know what? I know every inch of this church. And so we had, you can see where this is going, we had the hard wooden pews, like the ones up there. And so I was like, you know what? I got my ball in hand. I take off running through the sanctuary, and I'm doing good. I was like, oh, there's a turn here, turn here, turn here. Doing good. I'm about 15 feet from the door. All of a sudden, the left kneecap, boom, right on the wooden pew. And I fall down and I'm like, oh, I just wish it was light in here. Then I could see where I'm going. So you can imagine my PTSD from that moment, Tuesday night here at church. We have a meeting. We had some Rosati's pizza. Meeting's over and I'm going to clean up. I got to wheel the little cart to the kitchen. And Tuesday night, if you live in the area, there's a storm, right? Boom, power goes out. Oh no, I've been here before. So I'm like, all right, I got to get to the kitchen. And then God sent an angel. He showed up. He had white hair. And I'm like, oh, this must be from the Lord. His spectacles were shining. So it was like the light of heaven is reflecting. There's a light coming. He's tall. He's like 6'5". And then he takes his cell phone and points it up. I was like, oh, hey, Pastor Phil, it's you. Look at that. And so he takes his flashlight and he says, you go in the kitchen? All right, come with me. And he's got his phone, and we could only see, you know, 5-6 feet around, and the cell phone light's not very bright. But it was just enough to lead me to the kitchen where two grown men could eat four-hour-old Rosati's pizza and chat by the light of a cell phone. Light reveals, and it directs. What in your life, I want to ask you this way, in what ways has God given you light, revealed something to you? In what ways has God guided you through life? John 3 says this, God's light has come into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed, revealed. But those who do what is right, they come into the light, so that others can see that what they are doing is what God wants. Oftentimes, God's light reveals things within us that we're not excited about. When we first come to Jesus especially, God's spirit begins to point out things. Oh, you're pretty angry. You're pretty, have a quick temper. Actually, yeah, you're pretty selfish. You really only care about yourself. Actually, you have this action, this pattern, this attitude. It really shouldn't be there. And it feels uncomfortable. We don't like to be exposed. We don't like God's revealing light. But if we could bring it into the light, that's where the work of surgery begins, where God begins to work on it. And it's painful in the moment, but we're so much healthier when we let God begin to work on us. It reveals something, and it also guides us. Have you ever been guided by God where you say, God, I don't know what to do in this situation. Would you help me? And you begin to see God open doors. He introduces maybe a new job or a new relationship, a new friendship, someone who speak wisdom and help you. Maybe through serving especially, God would guide you to giving back to other people. Maybe you serve in the kids ministry and you're like, this is what I've been supposed to do. And God guided me here. Light reveals and it guides. This is what we should be doing in the world. I just want to walk through this verse. It says, you are the light of the world. And you're like, well, hold on a second. You said Jesus was the light of the world. You read that earlier. Yes, but when you begin a relationship with Jesus, God's spirit lives within you. And so then you are the light to the world. It's like a city that can't be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. This is interesting, and I want you to see this. If you have the light of God within you, it's not something to be hidden. We have a very interesting popular thought is, well, it's just between me and God. It's private. I want to say this. I don't think your relationship with God is private. Maybe in a moment where, yes, you need to pray, accept Jesus, begin to follow him, begin a relationship with him. In that sense, only you can do that, so that's private. But really, instead of private, it's personal. And it's not private at all. In fact, it's actually very public. When you begin a relationship with Jesus, the very first thing we do is baptism. You're telling the world in baptism, I'm following Jesus. I went from death to life. I'm living for him. It's actually very public. So while it's personal, it's not private. Because if you take a light and if you put a bowl over it, you know what happens to the light? It suffocates, gets no oxygen, and it dies. It's not something that's supposed to be hidden. In fact, instead, it's supposed to be placed on a stand. What's the purpose of a light anyway? To light up what is dark. So maybe if your relationship with Jesus isn't private, even though it's personal, it's supposed to be public. What if I were to say to you, your relationship with God maybe isn't just for you? The benefits of a relationship with God are amazing. Forgiveness of sin, free from guilt, shame. This is awesome. He's given me a new life, new hope, new future, new family, new purpose. Yes, I love following Jesus. But it's also for the people around you. A light shines. Dads, maybe your kids need to see what a godly man looks like. One who is vulnerable enough to love, show compassion, show mercy, follow Jesus with his whole heart. For all of us, maybe our boss needs to see what servant leadership really looks like. Maybe our spouse needs to see what light could come into our life if we begin to pray that our marriage would get healthier every single day. Maybe your city needs to see the light of what it looks like to do the right thing for free without being asked. This is, we're followers of Jesus. This is what we do. Maybe those who stumble in darkness could come to find the light by faith through grace in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They could come to know him, see the light, see the way that life is supposed to be because of the light that shines through us. We are on a stand for the world. So let your good deeds shine out so that when people see it, it's not about you. It's not so, oh, look at my personal piety. Look how holy I am. Man, I'm so good. Did you see what I did? No. The motive, so they would be pointed back to our Heavenly Father. So let your good deeds shine out so that people would be drawn back to know the Father. Today I want to say, you are sent. Here's what's interesting about this series. You know, you're sent. In the Bible we read there's, when you're a follower of Jesus, the word is disciples. Jesus says, go and make disciples. A disciple is a student. You are learning from the teacher. You follow the teacher. You're taking in everything you can. There's a moment Jesus raises from the dead and he says, no, now you are sent. You move from being a disciple, a learner, a follower, to an apostle who is sent. You are on mission. You are a missionary to the very family, your workplace, your neighborhood. You are sent as an apostle. And this may be, Bob will correct me later, this may be like bad from use of the scriptures, but I think practically how this plays out in our life, we are both all the time disciples and apostles. We're always continually learning from Jesus, being perfected and holy in the way that God would want us. At the same time, we're being sent as we learn. And I could come up here and say, now you are sent into the world. Here's the reality. When you leave this place every week, you're sent anyway. You're already delivering messages to your family, your workplace, your boss, whoever. You're already delivering messages. So the question really is, what message are you delivering? Is it different than what's in the rest of the world? Is it salty? Does it provide light? You're already sent. So maybe you could send and point people back to the light that is Jesus. In the beginning, I read John 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God. The very next verse from John said, God sent John the Baptist. He sent a person to tell others about the light. What if we inserted your name in here instead? So God sent, put your name in here, to tell about the light. Why? So that everyone might believe because of your testimony, your story. What do you have to share about what God has done for you? You, yourself, you're not the light. You're not the savior. You're not changing people's lives because of what you do. You recognize that. But instead, you're simply a witness. You're telling people about the light. The one who is the true light, Jesus, who gives light to everyone. He has and he is coming into the world. This week, if you were sent, what message? Be salt, preserve, add flavor, be light, reveal by your body and by your actions what God is doing in the world. Share his good news, guide and point others towards Jesus. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you that we no longer have to live in darkness. Thank you that you sent your son to die for our sins, to be raised to new life, to defeat sin, shame, death, and the grave, to bring a new light, a new hope, a new dawn for humanity. God, we thank you for the light that you have given us. You forgive us of our sin. You make us new. You take what was once dead, entombed, and dark, instead bring about hope and life and light. So God, we say, first of all, thank you. And if you're here today and you say, that's the kind of light I need in my life. I need the new start. I need a new hope. I need a new future. If that's you, just right now in this moment, you say, God, I need you. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to follow you, to live for you. I give myself to you. And then God, for all of us here today, help us to learn what it means to be salt and light. May our conversations, our speech, our dialogue be different. Not so that we would simply be different and people would look to us. No, but people would ask, why? Why are you different? So God, we could point them to you. Let our conversations be seasoned with salt so that others could come to know you, our Heavenly Father. As we leave this place, may we recognize that we are being sent to deliver your good news, to deliver your message. We love you, Jesus. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Hey, thanks again for joining us for the first NAS podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, I would encourage you to text the word first NAS to 474747. That's all one word, first NAS, to the number 474747. There you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. We'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast to make sure you always have the latest content. And always feel free to share this with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.